Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual. Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com. Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch, and the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them.
Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Monday, a full slate of NFL preseason games this week. Yes, football is officially here. It's going to cool down over the next 10 days or so, 14 days in America, hopefully for some places that desperately need it. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong, plenty of both. Joy Taylor is back and looks splendid as usual. This is Joy's CEO of a major foundation. Her hair changes.
Yeah.
You know, this is very upscale.
Like a tech company or something.
Yeah, you're very in control, very powerful, a lot of leverage in the industry. It's great to see you.
Good to be back.
It is. The thing about success is the more you have, the danger is you start believing that you know more than everybody. And success is based, as many of you know, on a lot of factors. It's timing, it's support. I was talking to somebody the other day about what is this person's ceiling? It was a young kid in college. And I said, don't worry about your ceiling. Your ceiling can only be realized with help. Nobody reaches a ceiling without help. Brady had Belichick. And then he went to Tampa with those receivers. If he never had Belichick and those good receivers in Tampa, he'd have no Super Bowls. Everybody's ceiling, you need alliances and help. If you show up, you work hard every day, that's really who you are. Don't worry about the ceiling part. And the Patriots, for the only time in the history of the National Football League, maybe the Packers did this way, 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 way back, but the Patriots had like two dynasties. They had like a 20-year run, which included two dynasties beginning and end. So it's very human, it's very understandable if you start believing that you just are better than everybody else and smarter than everybody else. So the last 2 years has been very weird in New England since Tom Brady left. Tom is succeeding, and New England is not. They're a 500 team. Belichick now has multiple kids on his staff, his kids. Their drafts have been, to say the least, odd, and they can't score. So a story coming out over the weekend that from legitimate sources, Mike Girardi at the NFL Network, guy's been doing this a long time, that they've looked bad. Mac Jones looks uncomfortable this year. Mike Reese, ESPN reporter, again, excellent reporter. Know Mike not well, but know him, is they've had real struggles in camp. And it reminds me, back in 2010, Josh McDaniel was the coordinator of New England. He was this young, brash coordinator. And he got the job with Denver. And listen, sometimes when you're really talented, you get jobs early in your life. Lane Kiffin is one of these coaches, Lane Kiffin. And you're just not ready for it. It's a big job, face of a franchise. And that's okay. But the one thing Josh McDaniels did that was not okay is he drafted Tim Tebow in the first round in 2010, 12 years ago. And it was, I'm smarter than everybody. The sources I've had in this league for a long time and the people I trusted on Tim Tebow, most of the people I trusted didn't even know if he was draftable. Didn't know if he was draftable. That's okay, by the way. Tommy Frazier is one of the best college quarterbacks I've ever seen at Nebraska. Didn't get drafted. Charlie Ward was great. Quarterback Florida State, didn't get drafted. Tebow's much closer to them than he is Peyton Manning, right? Like, my guys were like, I'm not really sure with his delivery. I don't know if he's a draftable quarterback. Maybe I'd take him in the seventh round and just get him on the roster. Denver took him first round. He bombed. He was at one point fourth on the depth chart in Denver. And so, again, McDaniel's from New England. And when you start looking, one of the things we know to be true, and it's sort of odd, right, is that Belichick's coaching tree has a lot of failures. And not just failures, disasters. Matt Patricia, Joe Judge, Charlie Weiss at Notre Dame, like disasters. And with all of them, what's the criticism? Josh McDaniels, arrogance. Charlie Weiss came out, said he had a schematic advantage at Notre Dame. Arrogance. Bill O'Brien, who I think is a pretty good coach, took over Houston, really kind of strong-armed people, got fired. Arrogance. Matt Patricia had to be told how to dress. Remember, he showed up hat backwards, got ripped after week one. He thought he could just get away with it. Joe Judge, got a certain system and a culture. In all of them, there's an argument to be made is they brought in this sort of, we're smarter than everybody else. And I do think you're seeing it post-Brady. I think Brady's humility, I mean, for a superstar married to a supermodel worth $1 billion, Tom's pretty humble, can laugh at himself, pretty funny, good self-awareness most of the time. And this organization now, in an offensive pivoting league, they just don't have any playmakers. I saw a stat this morning, the guys looked up in the last 2 years, they're like bottom of the league in everything with the receivers. Receiving receptions, receiving yards, receiving TDs. They brought in Devontae Parker. That's not going to solve it. He doesn't separate from anybody. Talented, but not really a separate guy. So, and here's why it's arrogant. Because you have Mac Jones in his second year. Mac Jones isn't Lamar Jackson. He's not Justin Herbert. Like, there are limitations to what he can do. So what he needs is support and help. Like Burrow's getting in Cincinnati. They just keep getting him weapons and offensive linemen. Like Justin Herbert is getting in L.A. with the Chargers. First thing they did, get a left tackle. They went and spent a fortune on a center. Draft another running back. They're just constantly upgrading. New England, we're going to use a defensive coordinator as an offensive coach. Joe Judge, a special teams guy. Yeah, he'll call plays too. It's by committee. And the stories are out that Mac Jones is not comfortable. Well, why would he be? I mean, if you were in year two of a really hard job and you got less support and it was boss by committee, to me that just smacks of arrogance, is that we're just smarter than everybody else. And if you start looking at all these misses, Eric Mangini got fired, but it wasn't an arrogance thing. I mean, he went to the Jets and Browns. Those are enigmatic franchises. But I think this is on full display. I think the ego and the harshness of Belichick wore out Brady. And we know that he was unhappy 2 years before he left because the stories are out now. He was talking to somebody in division, the Miami Dolphins, about going to play for them. He wanted to come back and burn New England. Like, he was already talking to Miami, their rival in division. The difference is Mac Jones doesn't have that resume. He doesn't have that leverage. He doesn't really have a strong voice in the room. And this is what he's left with. And this is why Brady left. Is that they just, everybody's too smart. They know their own stuff. We do it our way. Well, your way's not working. You're a 500 team that cannot force Josh Allen the last 2 years to punt. Can't, forget beating him. You can't force him to punt in any game played against Josh in decent weather the last 2 years. So, Joy often laughs at the fact that I love practice video. Absolutely love practice video. Now, not all video is credible. I mean, UFO is a great example. Like, what's the angle? What's the clarity? You can't get too in love with video, right? But there are sometimes you see video and it's the truth. Like, that's fast. That's urgent. That's passionate. You can see crowds. You can see people. So if based on video that we have seen, clips of practice so far, Tua is going to be the MVP of the league, and Daniel Jones is going to complete 23% of his throws. So how much of it is true? When you watch these videos, and, you know, is video telling you the truth with Tua, and is it similarly telling you the truth with Daniel Jones? Because the clips coming out of Miami are unbelievable. It's just one 55-yard perfect strike after another for Tua. He just looks absolutely great in all the video that's been on the internet and been on blogs, and it's handheld stuff, and it comes from fans. It's perfect. Well, here's my thing. If you look at Tua's history, he was accurate in high school, accurate at Alabama, and he completed like 68% of his throws last year. He's always been accurate. Then I see these video clips where he now has an elite left tackle and elite receivers. He remains accurate with better help. I buy that video. I think he's going to have a very good year. And Daniel Jones, similarly, has never been that accurate. His college, even with David Cutcliffe, here's a throw. He just wasn't that accurate. In the NFL 3 years, he hasn't been accurate. So when I look at Daniel Jones' clips, a video, I say, well, this is what he is. And when I look at Tua's clips, I say, well, that is what he is. So I do think Tua is going to have a big year, and Daniel Jones, by about week 8, they'll be done with him, and Tyrod Taylor will be playing. So in this instance, I have data combined with video, and I think these are real video clips of note, and they are telling you stuff. Because I think if you look at Tua's history, I went back and looked at high school stuff and college stuff and NFL stuff. Tua's never had an accuracy issue. He's Drew Brees. That's who he was comped with. His issue is, I got a bad left tackle, and nobody's ever open. Off-season acquisitions, both problems solved. Armstead, Waddle, Cedric Wilson, Tyreek Hill. So I think Miami's going to have a very good year. Not everybody thinks that. I do. And I think the Giants are going to be an absolute wreck. The other thing I think about when I see practice video for quarterbacks is that the one thing a quarterback doesn't have to worry about in practice is getting hit. That is a significant psychological edge in practice. You never have to worry about getting hit. Translation, you should be more accurate. You should be more confident. I mean, if you played football in the NFL as a running back and knew you're not going to get hit today, you'd run harder. You'd run with more conviction. To a big year, Daniel Jones, nightmare. And I think it's both true.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5, that's it, $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd draft coverage. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports, like all-time NCAA scoring leader Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and many of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round picks. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out the most popular trading card brands like Prizm, Select, Donruss, and more. For those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd draft coverage. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots made by hand, time-honored tradition with timeless styles, always on trend. They have first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. If you can't make it to a store, visit Tecovas.com, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
So when I was a kid and I wanted to be a sportscaster, and I don't know if Joy thought this way, but I never wanted to be a homer for my local teams, because when I was a kid, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, and I watched sportscasters, I always liked the guys that were honest with me, even if my team stunk, because when you're a kid, even when you're a kid, you know when your team stink, right? And so when anybody says to me, Colin, you love all your L.A. teams, I always say, because I live in L.A. now, I'm like, well, they're all winning. I ripped the Lakers nonstop because they're a mess. Executive suite, roster, like the Rams won the Super Bowl. And Lincoln Riley's a really good coach at USC, and the Dodgers like draw more than anybody in baseball, and they won their division like 9 straight years. What do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? The reality is I'm a Pacific Northwest kid, and for years I always lamented the Seahawks, and then they got Russell Wilson, and they were great. But I have been really, really hard on the Seahawks for a couple of years because I don't think they understand the value. Belichick's finding out about it now, the value of Russell Wilson. Figure out a way to get along with a star quarterback. If he's needy, not saying Russ is, but if he's needy, like Aaron Rodgers can be, deal with it. He's got to get along with Aaron Rodgers. He drives me nuts. You got to get along with him. You got to get along with Russell Wilson. You got to get along with Brady. You got to treat Mac Jones better. Deal with it. We know now, especially post-Brady-Belichick divorce, that the quarterback, if he's a star, is the 70-30 part of this equation. Now, I do think Andy Reid in an offensive league or a McVay can really elevate people, but in most cases, 70-30, quarterback over the coach. In pro, maybe not in college. So Drew Locke, apparently, is going to win the job in Seattle. Geno Smith or Drew Locke. Drew Locke is outperforming him, and Pete Carroll, a defensive coach, won't put his arms around Drew Locke and just say, Drew's better. Pete wants him to compete. Drew is better. Drew is more talented. Pete, put your arms around him. He won't, just like he wouldn't with Russell Wilson. So what's going to happen here in Seattle, and I don't think Pete's ready for it, it's one thing. Remember Kevin Durant left the Warriors? And for the first year, he dogged Golden State. How do we view it now? That he's crazy. Why? Because as he was losing simultaneously, the Warriors win the championship. That's two different stories at the same time, both going against you. It's like having two jets flying toward each other. They get there quicker. So Durant's flailing in Brooklyn. At the same time the Warriors are winning, there's no market for Kevin. People are like, Golden State's culture is better without him. He's difficult. He is needy. Fair or not, I don't think Kevin ever understood what was going to happen if he didn't win and they did. It's bad for his brand. This is Belichick, was the best coach ever. Literally 2 years removed from it. 2 years. And he made the playoffs 1 year. We think less of Belichick. 2 years. Well, Seattle's offense in the three games they didn't have Russell Wilson last year. He got hurt, remember? It was the worst offense in the league in every category. There it is for our TV audience. Terrible. And there's a lot of narrative. So you're going to see an offense in Seattle this year that will be the worst in the league in a tough division. It'll be the worst in the league. The Rams' defensive front, Arizona's defensive front, and the Niners' defensive fronts have great pass rushes. They're going to start two rookie tackles and Drew Lock. Seattle's offense is going to be awful. Simultaneously, like KD and the Warriors, Russell is going to be crushing and scoring points in a tough division, and he's got seven national TV games. And here's Russell rolling out, making plays, Jerry Jeudy, these two great young running backs, a better offensive line, an offensive clever head coach. And Pete's going to be sitting there as a defensive coach, 1-8 with the worst offense in the league. And I don't think Seattle's ready for it. It'd be one thing if Russell got traded, you know, or got injured and disappeared for a year. Kevin Durant did get a break for a year because the Warriors fell apart. So for the first year when Kevin left the Warriors, we were all like, KD is winning. And then he got bounced in the first round. But we really didn't crush KD for 2 years because the Warriors were awful. Now, the minute the Warriors are good simultaneously with Kevin, his market shrinks. We all think he's a little off. Difficult and needy. Did he get needier? No, the Warriors won while he was struggling. And so I think what you're going to have, and it's going to be like the Brady Belichick situation on HGH. Because New England's not terrible, Seattle will be. At least they have Mac Jones and a good defense. Seattle's going to be awful, unwatchable. Simultaneously, 70-year-old head coach who couldn't get along with Russ, as Russ is crushing it with an offensive guy. And I just don't think Pete's ready for the tsunami. If Kevin Durant can see his market shrink, if Belichick now is looked at cynically, what's 2-15 going to look like with Russ? And remember, Russell Wilson bizarrely has never gotten an MVP vote, which is kind of weird, right? Like not one? Not one? So I do think there is a little bit of sympathy for Russell Wilson, that there's kind of a sense like, come on. It's like when Westbrook got jettisoned by KD. The story was poor Russ got like, you know, his partner left him. And there was a sympathy vote for Russell. I think Russell Wilson's going to get, if it's close or it's a tie with like an Aaron Rodgers or a Brady, Russell would get the sympathy vote. Like, dude's never gotten an MVP vote. So the media is going to be very pro Russell Wilson this year. Watch, I always have been, but they're going to be very pro-Russell. They're not going to give another MVP if it's close to Aaron or another one to Rodgers or you know, Mahomes has. They're going to give Russ the vote, Russ the column, Russ the discussion, Russ the talk show segment.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
I went back and looked as I'm kind of simplifying. I like to simplify stuff because I'm a simple guy. And I went back the last five drafts, and I asked the staff, let's go back and look at the last five final standings in the NFL. And I don't care about the middle. Outside of sandwiches, I don't care about the middle of anything. Give me the great, give me the lousy. Fascinating. When I was a kid, I loved lousy teams in baseball. I was fascinated by the Padres winning 69 games, and I wanted the Reggie Jackson Yankees. Like, middle is boring. I want great or bad. So I went and looked over the last, I went back 1 to 5 years, half decade. The bad teams in the NFL. How many bad teams are there in the NFL? Now, bad is 4 games under .500. So in a 16-game schedule, you are 6 or 10 or worse. And the average is about 10. Now, last year was a little bit of an outlier where it was 7. But on average, you get about 10 like bad teams. These are bad teams. Some really bad. Now, how many teams are excellent teams, team double-digit wins? Now, in a 17-game schedule, I consider excellent 11 or up. I don't think 10 and 7 now counts. But to simplify this, the teams that win 10-plus games, those are top of the game. It averages like 11 and a half, 12. So that's what you get. What you get in this league is 10 crappy teams, 11, 12 good ones, and a 10 in the middle. It's evenly split. So tell me the lies. I don't care about the middle, but I'm going to give you the 10 bad teams. So that's the average over the last 5 years. These are the bad teams. It's either a coach, a quarterback, Jets, Giants, Jags, Texans, everybody not named Tampa in the NFC South, Falcons, Saints, Panthers. Jameis Winston hurt his ankle today. Lions, Bears, Seahawks. Now, I do think Detroit has some really, really tasty offensive people. Receiver, tight end, left tackle, running back, Goff's fine. I think Detroit, but in that division, Green Bay and Minnesota are simply better. Those are bad teams. Those are 4 games under .500 this year or worse. I think Detroit's arguably the best team of that group, but I think they're going to be 4 games under .500. Here are the teams that I think are going to be the good teams. Now, with a 17-game schedule, 11 wins or up potential. Bills, Chiefs, a lot of AFC. Bills, Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos, Bengals, Ravens, Niners, Rams, Cardinals, Bucks, Packers, Vikings. You know I'm hot on the Vikings this year, so I see them as that team. And I do think Trey Lance will be good enough to be like 11-6. I think the roster's too good. I think the offense in San Francisco is very quarterback friendly. So there you go. I've simplified it. I don't care about the middle outside of sandwiches. Doesn't matter to me. 10 bad, 12 good. That's the number I came up with. 10 bad, 12 good. And that's over the last 5 years, that is the average. Show me the lies.
Well, you have the Dolphins as a playoff team.
Well, I do, but I have them at 10.
Okay, so you're saying at 11
wins
or more. Yeah,
so in a 16-game schedule, 10 and 6 okay. Feels like it's a good team. In a 17-game schedule, 11 and 6 feels really high-end. 10 and 7 can be you're in a wonky division. I mean, yeah. Dallas could go 10 and 7. I could hate the coach. They could have no pass rush outside of Micah Parsons. 10 and 7 doesn't feel...
The extra game changes.
But you get to 11 wins, even in a wonky... If Dallas wins 11 games, I'm wrong. Like, that's a good team. I don't care. I looked at Dallas' schedule. They play Burrow. They play Brady. I think they play the Chargers or the Rams. If they win 11 games, that's a good team. So show me the lies on that.
Can we see the good teams again?
Let's go the good team.
I feel like the bad teams, the only one that I feel like could, and it will depend on Jameis, is if Jameis stays healthy.
Okay, now.
The Saints.
Okay, on this, you say, where are the Raiders? I think they're 10 and 7, maybe.
Yeah.
Where are the Dolphins? I have them in the playoffs. But I don't think the Dolphins are special enough to win.
Love Vikings.
Love them. I won't hear otherwise. I think Minnesota is going to shock the league. And it's all based on a simple piece of data. They had by far and away the most close games and the most close losses.
What about the Eagles?
Again, 10 and 7. I think the Eagles, Raiders, and Dolphins are middle. By the way, Tennessee was a number one seed. I don't have them up there. I think they're a 10-win team max because I think they're having a contract dispute with one of their better defensive players. They lost their best receiver. I think that division, I think Jacksonville and Houston can beat them this year, maybe at home. So, by the way, a lot of the middle is 9 and 10 win teams. New England, the Raiders, the Dolphins, the Colts. Not bad.
God, that AFC West division is impossible.
I'm not using the model that has been consistent, maddeningly so, in the NFL for years. This appears to be The other thing that jumped out to me today, I feel very good about this, is that according to, what is this, heavy.com? I've never gone there. There are those inside the Lakers organization that would move off Anthony Davis at the trade deadline. Thank you. I don't know how you can cover the NBA and watch. Basically, Anthony Davis has told you exactly what he is. Inconsistently committed and inconsistently available. I do not know how you can make an argument otherwise. His only big year in LA was the pandemic year when he got a four-month hiatus in the middle of the season. Therefore, he was healthy for the playoffs. So, I've said it before. I would cross my fingers. I think he will be in good shape this year because he's gotten so much criticism from that comment, I didn't touch a ball for 2 months. He's gotten crushed in Lakerland by that. The organization was going to bring in Rasheed Wallace. Then they let him go. Like, the organization's on Anthony Davis. They're like over it. This kind of inconsistently committed. So I think he's going to have a really, it's going to be a classic buy low, sell high. He's going to have a very good first half. But as I've said before, LeBron's smart. As LeBron has aged, LeBron's reluctance to play with younger players who get hurt less, and if they do, they return quicker. LeBron's got to pivot. And LeBron's been a great pivoter. LeBron's got to pivot. He cannot have older, banged-up players, and AD's got an old body for a young guy. That's not what LeBron can play with anymore. He can't, because LeBron can't play more than 60.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HEARD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HEARD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21-plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd draft coverage. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports, like all-time NCAA scoring leader Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and many of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round picks. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net, with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out the most popular trading card brands like Prism, Select, Donruss, and more. For those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd draft coverage. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Dekovis is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots made by hand, time-honored tradition with timeless styles, always on trend. They have first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. If you can't make it to a store, visit Tecovas.com, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
He had a great career. Two rings with the Patriots, 13 years. He was an undrafted wide receiver out of Texas Tech. I have a soft spot. We talk about this all the time. The NBA is the NFL is the only sport. Half of the guys in the league are undrafted, which just shows you how much talent, football talent, there is in America. And I also think it speaks to you got to have the right mindset to play in this league. It's not just talent. You got to put in the hours. You got to be tough. You know, talent's part of it, but it's a hard league. Football practice is fundamentally hard. In the summer with pads on, football practice is hard, so it's such a mental game. And Danny Amendola, Texas Tech, undrafted. Look at that. Played 8 games with the Texans, so you're officially retired. So I just watched Gray Man last night, and I'm just going to say this one time. Don't get a big head, but you remind me of Ryan Gosling, and you've been told that, right?
I have. Ever since The Notebook came out, actually since Remember the Titans, my friends always used to rag on me. I was, you know, he played receiver too, so I get that resemblance a lot.
Yeah, but he can't catch or run a Z route, so screw him. He's no good. Okay, so let's talk about this. So Matt Stafford is a guy that you know well, and I always feel bad for guys who are really talented, Danny, and then they end up in a bad organization. And they're really talented, and you're just banging your head against the wall. So when Stafford, who you know, goes to the Rams, I take it you weren't shocked by his success.
Oh, man, no question. He's such a talent. You know, we see it every week just in his arm strength ability, his ability to spin the ball, you know, his accuracy. How he really excels is mentally, his IQ of the game. You know, he sees every coverage. He's seen every blitz. You know, I'll run back to the huddle and he'll be like, you know, did you see that guy coming off the edge? I'm like, of course, you know, it's like, I'm amazed by how much he sees on the field, head and shoulders above, you know, three quarters of the league. And that's why he's so successful.
Yeah. I mean, you've arguably played with two of the smartest quarterbacks ever, Brady and Stafford. Now Brady's legendary for kind of pre-snap adjustments. Is Stafford more about talent, or did he at the line, is Matt doing the same stuff before the snap?
He's doing a lot of the same things. You know, we're really trying to locate what coverage it is before the play starts so we can kind of manipulate the leverages and take what they're going to give us. Matt can see the leverages at his quarterback position of wherever, you know, the defensive backs are playing on the receiver and having the ability to understand coverages like he does and just see the total defense. You know, he's one of the best. And Tom does that. Tom would actually go in motion across the line and Tom would actually spit out the covers of that plan. So by the time we got across the line of scrimmage or the other side of the formation, we already know what coverage it was. So if you got a quarterback like that, that's just so knowledgeable of the game. So such a high football IQ, then, you know, you're head and shoulders above the rest of quarterbacks. So it's awesome to see.
So you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, well, I've always liked Jimmy more than everybody else. There's an old Trent Dilfer used to use this line all the time that a good quarterback has what they call dude qualities. Like the dudes want to hang out with him. And I think Jimmy's got that. I think Jimmy's a guy's guy, is that he's, you know, he can make fun of himself. He's a good looking guy. And I really root for Garoppolo. The media crushes him. But tell us, tell me a little about Jimmy, that stuff the fans wouldn't see. That are you a fan? Your thoughts about him?
I love Jimmy, yeah. Well, you know, he's a fellow Italian, first and foremost. He's also a Scorpio. We share the same birthday, so we've always been we hit each other up on November 2nd, which is you know, Scorpios get a lot of hate too. I don't understand why, but Jimmy's a great dude, man. He's a great quarterback. Whatever team he lands on, I know he's going through it out in San Francisco right now, but he's always working, man. We've been training together for probably 7-8 years now, ever since he came out of college in LA, and he's just such a talent, man. Whatever team he lands with, he's going to be successful. You know, so he's a good dude, man. He's a great locker room guy. He works really hard, and he's always ready to go.
By the way, Joy and I are Capricorns, and Capricorns, Joy, what are we known for? What's a Capricorn?
We're very steady, very consistent. We're a little crazy, but we don't let everyone see it. By the way, Scorpios.
No, okay, time out.
None of those qualities, Danny.
So Geminis are Gemini.
Geminis. We don't pay attention to Geminis. Geminis don't have it all together.
I was married to a Gemini, and they say they're two different people. So what is a Scorpion? What's Scorpio? What are they?
Very scorpion-like.
Like, what, do you bite people? What are you known for? What is it? What's the trend?
I think we're a little reserved by nature, but if you cross us, then
oh boy,
it's bad news for you.
Yeah, yeah. You sent me an angry email once because I said something about you, and you said, "Hey, I listened to you. Watch your mouth." I remember that.
I remember. You said I was a system guy, and I was like, you know, I played in a lot of different systems, but yes, this one was more successful than others. So
yeah.
I guess I am a system guy.
Well, you bit me. You came here with scorpion tentacles and came out and bit me, and I remember it.
Exactly.
Josh McDaniels, we say this all the time, the downside to being young and talented in any business is that you may get opportunities earlier than you're maybe quite ready for. I feel Lane Kiffin was given the USC job. He was like a kid, and he just wasn't quite ready for it. Now he's at Ole Miss. He's crushing because he's really good. I think Josh McDaniels is super smart. I don't think he was quite ready to be a head coach at his age, but he got it because he's smart. You sit around him, and so you work with him. What are the things you liked about him? What to you? Because I think he's going to work. I think the second time for him, I think he's going to work like Lane Kiffin. You're going to look up and go, "Damn, that's a good coach." What about him stands out to you?
Well, the main thing about Coach McDaniels is that, you know, normally, you know, in a lot of different places I've played, the offensive coordinator just kind of hand you the playbook and say, "Hey, you know, this is your material. You gotta understand the route and kind of follow the indicated line on the page and don't mess it up." Whereas Josh McDaniels, and something that he's done a great job is telling you why you're doing this on every specific play. So you have a great understanding of what your job is going into every game. And then he also says, you know, you don't have to go outside your body to make crazy plays during a game. Stay within yourself, stay within the system, stay within the offense, and big plays will come. You know, he was one of my favorite coaches I ever had, just because he'd tell you why you're doing something in that regard.
Finally, I don't love this story. So we all know Belichick's smart, blah, blah, blah. But McDaniels leaves, and he says, "I'm just going to put Matt Patricia. He's going to call plays." And I'm like, time out. Being an offensive coordinator is hard. There's about six great ones in the NFL. You know, don't give me some defensive guy. And there's reports out, Danny, that this week that Mac Jones has not been as comfortable in camp. Isn't it a little odd? I know everybody loves Belichick, but it's a little odd, right? But a DC at OC?
Yeah, I know. I mean, you definitely have to understand defenses as an offensive coordinator. You have to understand leverages and what they're trying to get to and if they're disguising it. And I think Coach Patricia can offer that perspective. You know, you can't replace Josh McDaniels, and that's the reason why he is who he is and why he's at you know, in Las Vegas as a head coach. But he is, I think if they can kind of relate the old film that they have for 10, 12, you know, 15, 20 years of watching Brady kind of do, you know, run the offense, run the schemes, and, I feel like, you know, they have a chance at least. Coach Belichick does a great job of getting his teams ready to play regardless of, you know, the circumstance, regardless of the adversity they're going to face. And that's what makes him a great coach. I don't necessarily understand why there's no OC or DC, but probably a tactical thing. You know, if you don't have a label on your offensive coordinator or your defensive coordinator, then the game plan for the other team might not, you know, be as accurate. They don't know, maybe not know what to expect.
Yeah, no, that's been suggested. That's actually what somebody said to us, and we thought it was a pretty good idea, which is first 6 weeks of the year, you have no idea who they are and what their identity is. All right, he does look like Ryan Gosling. He is November 2nd. He's a Scorpio. Now, are you going to be one of these guys that retires and watches the game and keeps up to it, or just do your own crap and don't really, you did it, you're done with it?
I did it. I'm always going to be a fan of the game. You know, I grew up, you know, my dad's a high school football coach. Yeah. You know, it's in my blood. I'm going to watch these games this year from my couch with a smile on my face, man. It was an amazing journey. It was awesome to be a part of a lot of great teams, met a lot of great guys. Some great coaches, great fan bases, and you know, it's a journey. You know, I put my whole life's work into it, and to have it come to an end is a little strange feeling. However, it is I'm very satisfied and have no regrets.
Do you know in three Super Bowls? Do you know how many catches you had total? It's pretty impressive.
Let's see. In the Super Bowls, 16, 20 something, 22, 3.
21, 300 yards, 2 TDs. That's pretty good. Pretty strong.
There you go,
Ryan.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, all right. Danny Amendola, the Italian Stallion. There you go. Congrats, buddy. Nice. Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Colin. Appreciate it, man. Have a good one.
You bet.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
You got to get along with people, Bucky. That's the name of the game. You gotta
yes.
Win. All right, former NFL defensive back, Fox Sports analyst. So, reports are Mac Jones is struggling, pulled back a little bit in camp, doesn't have an offensive coordinator. Eric Mangini said on the show when Josh McDaniel got the Raiders job, he's like, people don't understand. That's a huge loss. See, are you surprised by Mac pulling back?
I think it happens. I think in year two, sometimes you can have some struggles, like you're trying to put it all together. I think we don't want to kind of jump to conclusions that he's going to struggle in the regular season, because part of what you're doing as a coaching staff, you're trying to stretch Mac Jones and see how much can he handle, what can he do, how much has he improved. And then when you get all of that information, then you begin to put together the game plan for here's how we need to play with Mac Jones based on where he is right now. Bill Belichick and those guys do a great job of taking what they have and finding a way to put it together. And remember, the Patriots treat the first month of the season really like the preseason. They're still trying to find their identity. They don't mind if they lose a couple games. But at the end of the day, the last half of the season, he's going to play the best style that fits the team and the talent that he has.
So there are certain things that you can take an athlete and teach him. I don't think you can make a corner significantly faster than he was in college. Speed is speed. I also think for quarterbacks, some guys, it comes quickly and often, it's accuracy. Mm-hmm. Some guys, Jake Locker, never accurate. Daniel Jones, not that accurate. So I see these, you know, I watch these video clips on Daniel Jones. And even at Duke, in a pretty average conference with an offensive coach, David Cutcliffe, he, you know, 58%. And so I don't think Jones is a franchise quarterback. I don't think he throws an accurate football. So when I see these clips on the internet where he's spraying it, I'm like, I believe that's what he is.
I mean, a lot of times, like, you are what you are when you come into the league, and the job of the coaching staff is to find a way to take what the player is and to put him in a situation where he always can play to his strengths. The only guy that we've seen improve maybe dramatically when it came to accuracy was Josh Allen.
Right.
But part of that is not only him improving, but what they put around him. Normally when you have a young quarterback, you want to put veteran receivers around him because, one, they're going to be in the spot where the quarterback expects them to be, so there's a level of trust that can develop. Two, they're going to be able to create more separation. So now the accuracy issues aren't necessarily as big of a deal because they can either expand the strike zone or they're so wide open that it doesn't matter. For Daniel Jones, I don't know if he has enough weapons around him to really flourish, but it doesn't matter. The excuses are off the table. He is going to have to play at a high level with what he has around him to justify or to validate his status as a Giants starting quarterback. And so it's on him. He has to play better no matter what is around him. He has to perform.
We Joy, when the Seahawks traded Russell Wilson, Joy could not believe it. Her takeaway is you don't understand how much harder this job is if you don't have the guy. Matt Rhule's a really good coach, I think, and he doesn't have a star. And I said, I think Seattle's going to have to fight two battles. Two rookie tackles, tough division, and they're not good at quarterback. And Russell's going to flourish every Sunday at 4 o'clock. And by the way,
maybe
owners hear that stuff. They see it. And it's like Eric Mangini says, billionaires, you'd think they'd be stable. They read their friends, their golf buddies are like, I think Seattle's in for a rude awakening. How much Russell cleaned up?
I see it differently.
Tell me.
I think sometimes in this business, it's better to get rid of a quarterback or a player a year too early rather than a year too late. Because the one thing about Russell Wilson, for all the great things that he does, he's not a timing and rhythm quarterback. The best that we saw from Russell was when he was able to improvise and make plays outside of the pocket. Well, now Russell's 33 years old. He's no longer the super athlete that he once was. And so now you're asking him to play a little more on script than you need to. And as he became a bigger voice within that locker room, and as he began to kind of impart what he wanted to do offensively, it became harder for Pete to play the way that he wanted to play. Because I heard you guys allude to the two Super Bowls. But those years when they were going to the Super Bowl and they won a Super Bowl, the run-pass ratio was more decidedly in the running favor as opposed to the passing favor. So I think for Pete Carroll, he would rather reshape the team and the vision that he sees fit. He wants to run the football. He wants to play great defense. And then he wants the passing game to be a complement. The thing about what they have in Drew Lock or Geno Smith and those guys, if they don't turn it over, it will give them a chance. It puts more onus on Pete Carroll to get the defense up and going in the running game. But I think he is more comfortable playing this style because in Pete's mind, he's seen it work. He's seen it go to two Super Bowls. I don't think he could live with the passing knowing that it's still not making these deep postseason runs.
All right. Trey Lance, arm fatigue, not sure. Story today, they're not letting go of Garoppolo until the final cut day. How can I not be a little cynical?
I mean, why? What are you cynical about? Like, I think the biggest thing, this is on Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, no one has made a deal to come and get Jimmy Garoppolo.
Crazy.
Like, I mean, I don't know. It just depends. Like, he's fine. He's fine.
Oh, boy. You
he's are. Fine. I don't think.
I
don't
he's
think
he's fine. That's what like, the girls say. He is fine.
He is. He's a bottom third quarterback.
Oh,
like, he's fine.
Lord. You and Nick Wright.
I want more. I want more from a franchise quarterback. I just want more. And so I think what people are doing is they're trying to wait and see. They know that the San Francisco 49ers at some point have to part ways. What the Niners are doing is they're hoping that there's a catastrophic injury for a team with a starting quarterback that needs it so they can pony up. A couple years ago, they did a Sam Bradford. Philadelphia had Carson Wentz. They still had Sam Bradford. Teddy Bridgewater gets hurt. They're able to get the first-round pick. So the Niners want to wait until the last possible minute to see if they can get a pick, but there shouldn't be any urgency to necessarily deal him. They still can do it, but Trey Lance is a starting quarterback. I wouldn't worry about that.
Who's better, Ryan Tannehill or Jimmy Garoppolo?
I mean, it's like a push. It's like a push.
Well, Ryan Tannehill got him to be the number one seed last year.
He did. Push, though. It's a push. I don't know. Jimmy's always hurt. Availability is a huge quality. He's never available. He's always hurt. 17-game season, he's going to play 13. Hard. Francis quarterback got to be around.
I think you should sleep on that whole thing.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlansport.com. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Dakovis is your stop before attending your next concert. All Dakovis boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Dakovis has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Dakovis store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. I love it. If you can't make it to a store, Just visit Tecovas.com. Stores are great, but it's Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.